Welcome to episode 4 of Nuggets for Vet Nurses, where we feed bite-sized bits of clinically relevant knowledge to our awesome everyday nurses.
You feed our patients and we feed you. I'm Esther Fan.
And I'm Marcus Taylor. From both sides of the equator, we're your show hosts.
Now, before we dive in, we have a little correction, a clarification, a wee recall of terminology to make from last episode.
Don't worry, what we told you about lung collapse was all correct. Just turns out what we know about camel extremities didn't turn out to be as robust.
Unfortunately so. See, at the end of episode 3, I mentioned that I had been fed a camel's paw pad as a delicacy while travelling in China. And Marcus questioned whether camels even had paws. So, as all good vets do, we did a little Googling.
Did you know camels have double sets of eyelashes to keep the dust out? That's flipping cool. They were like the OG desert divas, the OG DDs, if you will.
I did not know that. Thank you for that bit of clinically relevant knowledge.
Anytime.
What I also didn't know, and probably should have, was that camels don't have paws nor hooves. They have soft, padded feet. And on each foot are two toes, and on each toe is, believe it or not, a toenail.
So to clarify, Esther did not ingest the pad of a camel's paw. She ingested the pad of a camel's foot.
Apologies for the fake news. But, you know, it's super interesting. At 12 years old, I was told through a translator I'd just eaten the paw pad of a camel. I didn't, of course, question the translation nor the anatomy at the time. So from then on, I've always had it in my head that camels have paws. That experience was so formative that it even trumped what I was meant to learn in third year camelid lectures, and has clearly led me to use incorrect terminology on a public podcast.
Both fascinating and embarrassing. I'm actually headed off to work with camels in Jordan, so I'm like really glad we got all of this out of the way before I get there. And speaking of fascinating, we hope that today's nugget will be just as fascinating as those camel divas.
Definitely. What are we talking about today, Marcus?
Today's topic is conjunctivitis in dogs. Like you and your camel paws, we're going to clear up a few misconceptions.
Love clearing up misconceptions. So here's a basic but not stupid question. What is conjunctivitis?
Well, remember, itis means inflammation. So conjunctivitis is inflammation of the
conjunctiva. So another basic but not stupid question. What exactly is the conjunctiva?
The conjunctiva is the mucosal membrane that lines the inside of the eyelid. Not the lids, not the whites, but the pink bits.
Hot tip. Since the conjunctiva is a mucous membrane, you can use it to check mucous membrane colour if you can't get to the gums. For example, if the dog is muzzled. Where else can you check mucous membrane colour? Head to our Instagram page to put down and check your answers.
Absolutely. I'll head there after this. But first, this is worth repeating. Conjunctivitis is just inflammation of the conjunctiva. It doesn't just mean goopy eyes.
Nope.
It doesn't always mean infection.
Mm-mm.
Even if it is infection, it doesn't always mean contagious.
No.
These are often what clients mean when they say conjunctivitis. Infectious conjunctivitis is common in humans, especially kids in daycare, and it can be highly contagious. Many people think that if their dog has weepy or goopy eyes, he must have picked up an infection from the dog park or doggy daycare.
And they're wrong.
Whereas the most common form of conjunctivitis in dogs is allergic conjunctivitis, usually from pollens or grasses that irritate the conjunctiva. Allergic conjunctivitis can be compared to human hay fever.
Also common is traumatic conjunctivitis. This is where the eye has had a scratch or a knock from play fighting, running into a branch, or from something that went in, caused some irritation, and then came back out again.
Secondary infections can develop on top of this, especially if there's a corneal ulcer. But infection doesn't always mean contagious. It's unlikely that they will pass this infection on to another dog.
It's like, say a mozzie might bite my arm, causing swelling, redness, and inflammation. Then I might scratch my itchy bite until the skin breaks and then becomes a bit infected. But it's unlikely that I'll pass the skin infection on unless my wound touches someone else's broken skin and their immune system can't deal with that.
So while it's wise to keep affected dogs at home, away from pollens, branches, and potential play fights, rushing them home from doggy daycare into COVID-style isolation isn't essential with most canine conjunctivitis.
That's definitely very useful for owners, nurses, groomers, dog sitters, and all your Instagram friends to know.
Yes, so don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Check out our photos, quizzes, and answers there.
All right, so just to recap, conjunctivitis just means inflammation of the conjunctiva and has many different causes, the most common in dogs being allergic or traumatic. Contagious conjunctivitis is definitely not a common diagnosis in dogs, unlike kids in daycare.
Okay, so it must be story time, Esther. Since we've already started off the episode with a bit of a boo-boo, I wonder if we should continue theme and end with some of our epic fails in practice.
Epic fails? Do you mean like... Okay, so there was this time that I was going to anaesthetize this greyhound, and all the nurses were like, oh, Esther, I'll help you lift him up. You know, he's quite a big dog. You're quite a small vet. And I was like, no, it's okay. He's not that heavy. I can do this myself. And as I bent down to pick him up, my pants split, like right down the middle at the back. And I just paused, like mid-squat, with this greyhound in my arms. And everyone's like, Esther, I knew he was too big. Like, and they're rushing to my aid. And I'm like, no, it's fine. But my pants aren't fine. Like, please no one look behind me. And as soon as he was on the table and stable, I, you know, promptly swiveled my little nurse's pouch over the defect and kind of backed my way off to the bathrooms.
Oh, that is so good. So they didn't hear like the rip?
No.
There was too much going on. You just knew. You were the only one that knew what was going on.
It was really loud in my head, but no one else seemed to know.
Yeah.
Also, there was this time I was carrying this fat cat in its cage out to the owner in reception, and then there was this massive boom, and the handle broke off, or rather, the cage broke off the handle, and I'm left standing in the waiting room full of people, and I'm just holding this handle.
Oh, man. I hope you put the cat on a diet after that, Esther.
Definitely. It was definitely the cat's fault and the cage's fault, not my cat carrying skills.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the moral? Put one hand under the cage when you're carrying it, right?
Or even both hands, or wheel them out in one of those trolleys that the concierge or the porters do at a hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Hire a forklift for the pet cat. All right. Well, actually, I have a time it's cat related too. I was taking a blood sample and the nurse was holding the cat. And in my first practice, I always like did everything in the room with the client. So this old, really little old lady was standing there very patiently watching as I like leant forward, was carefully like lining up the jugular. And then literally just as the needle touched the skin, and I was like so concentrated, it was like my first few months of practice, so concentrated on getting on the sample, I forgot to like keep control of my, you know, like bodily functions or something, and I just like let out this really melancholic fart.
Oh no.
It was super loud. And I started laughing and the nurse started laughing and the cat was like shaking and I was shaking, but somehow the blood was still flowing into the syringe and I got a full blood sample while we were both like shaking with laughter. And I looked up at the grandma afterwards and she was like smirking so much and she kind of went a little like, oh my gosh, it was so awkward. And then I basically tried to like tell her, okay, we'll run the sample. But I was like laughing while I was trying to talk to her. The nurse just ran out of the room with the blood sample. And then like a minute later, she was like at the counter paying and you could just hear from the office this like hoots of laughter as like the nurse went in and told the whole like team what I just done. And the lady like started laughing again because she heard everybody laughing in the office and knew that like, I was just getting absolutely rinsed in there. So, yeah.
Well, at least they were laughing and not passed down on the floor from the gas, you know. So look on the bright side.
Yeah, I think that's why the cat stayed still while we were laughing so hard. She was like half anaesthetized from the gas.
Yeah, it could be a new technique. I mean, like ISO is quite expensive. Like maybe you could
bottle and sell the stuff. I'll make a fortune.
This could be something new. Totally.
Well, I suppose it's not a good thing, but we could probably go on and on with these stories. But instead, we better take a break and learn some more stuff and then be back with some more fails and some more good knowledge for the next episode.
Sounds good. We have to balance knowledge with failure, you know. So don't forget to share this with all your friends and join us next time as we talk about head collars and headstrong dogs. See you then.
See ya.